Joining us this morning is HPR's Noe Tanigawa. She's been hanging out with the University of Hawaii professor post-election, who says America's founders were all for liberty and justice, but democracy, not so much.
How does that happen, right? Well, the vote counting is still going on, let's face it. And hopefully we won't be seeing this vote counting as some like quaint, antiquated custom soon. With these elections here, I gave a call to UH Manoa history professor Marcus Daniel. His specialty is revolutionary and early America, because I wanted to touch back on the ideals that propel this country forward. Hopefully they're not running out of steam. And I always thought democracy was one of those founding ideals, like built in, like, you know, when we originally made the batter of this cake. But according to Professor Daniel, democracy? No.
The founders certainly didn't believe in a kind of an unalloyed democracy. They talked about freedom, they talked about liberty, but they didn't talk about democracy. And they often, when they did, they talked about it in pejorative terms. They saw democracy actually as problematic and often as a threat, being what Republicans today would call mob rule.
They didn't see liberty, justice, and democracy as necessarily linked. So, I mean, how did they get linked?
Well, gradually over time. I mean, I think that's something that we've had to fight for, you know, since the revolution itself, the gradual expansion of American systems of political representation to reflect the ideals of the founding period.
So Professor Daniel's saying that democracy is extremely idealistic, and it seemed to Americans to be a fair way to operate to achieve those goals of the founders. Freedom and equality. And now we've just been struggling for 200 years to make the system work. Democracy, defined as one person, one vote, has been a process. Okay, that whole process got a boost when they took out the property owning requirement. Okay, then in 1920, women got the vote. Okay, that made us a little closer to democracy, one person, one vote. Then Professor Marcus says we didn't really have anything close to democracy until the 1960s, when we had the civil rights laws come in and when some of those racial barriers to voting were supposedly abolished. Now, Professor Daniel's British, and that is where 70 to 80% of the population votes there in Britain. Why don't Americans vote since we've lowered the barriers? Supposedly everybody can. Daniel said when he first arrived in America, he couldn't understand why people didn't vote. But,
you know, in many ways, Americans don't get a lot from their government. My own experience sort of informs this. You know, you pay taxes in a place like England or Germany. You at least get health care and public education that is really pretty good. And I think a lot of Americans feel they don't get much in return, and there's some reality to that.
That's kind of, it kind of makes sense. You know? So we have a government that doesn't provide health care or necessarily a great education or maybe the infrastructure we expect, and we want lower taxes, and we wonder why people don't vote? Huh. Well, not only that. The entire process is under attack right now. President Trump has tweeted since the midterms that the Florida election, quote, large numbers of new ballots showed up out of nowhere. Many ballots are missing or forged. An honest vote count no longer possible. Ballots massively infected. Direct quote from a tweet from our president. On Arizona's race, our president tweeted, in Arizona, signatures don't match. Electoral corruption. Call for a new election. We must protect our democracy. Now, CNN has reported that nothing in those tweets is accurate.
I think this is what people are beginning to talk about, where the system itself, a democratic political system, becomes more and more tenuous. It holds the allegiance of Americans less and less. And you know, that's what worries me about the cynicism, about the sense. You know, in Germany in the 1920s, you know, before the rise of fascism, you know, one of the most common kind of political discourses was a sort of contempt for politics, this sort of do-nothing political system. And I think that's the sort of basis for then thinking about alternatives to that. So I see the cynicism as potentially very problematic.
If elections can't be trusted, well, what good is democracy? I mean, you really want to get stuff done? How about fascism?
Oh, goodness.
Hey! You know what? This past weekend, New York Times reported on how Silicon Valley is loving the sort of doomsday forecast of a certain futurist philosopher. His name is Yuval Noah Harari. And he's worried that the power of media to influence huge swaths of the population is destroying the idea of free will. And when so many people can be so easily influenced by social media and so on, why even ask them what they think? I mean, you can frankly just tell them what to think is you know, kind of the inference of his fear. And what's interesting is that Mark Zuckerberg, for example, said it was just recently in a New Yorker article was talking about a certain despot, Caesar Augustus. He said, Mr. Zuckerberg said, quote, basically, through a really harsh approach, he established 200 years of world peace.
Interesting.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, hey, nobody had time to vote anyway, right, Catherine?
Yeah. But, you know, it's funny, though, because, you know, you try and go back, right, our founding fathers, you know, the ideas that our country was built on, and what was the intent of the time, you know, when we created the Constitution and talked about these ideals of every vote counts in democracy.
I know. And to think that they weren't really tied to democracy at that time, and what Professor Daniel says is that they would actually be horrified to know that today, in 200-plus years later, we're trying to parse their words to know exactly what they meant. They meant for the document to change, is what Professor Daniel thinks.
Oh, a living document changing,
for
morphing.
The times.
Interesting.
And what would it be today?
Wow. Okay, that's food for
maybe
thought.
Maybe we'd be afraid to ask, like another con.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Well, thanks so much, Noe.
Thank you, Catherine.
That was Noe Tanigawa talking about democracy as we come off the general election and the recounts all across the country. You can find her story online at hawaiipublicradio.org.